What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Mick Monaco here with you, back in the overnights. It feels good to be home. I got you for one more hour until the warm-up show comes your way at 5 o'clock. We got Ray on the other side, and we're taking your calls at 888-808-1019 right here on The Fan, off another disappointing loss from both of our baseball teams. Just impossible to gain momentum, impossible to ever just start to feel good about these teams. That's what last night was. It's a brutal loss for the Mets. It's just a downer of a loss for the Yankees, and it's just more reaffirmation that it's impossible to get behind this group. It's impossible for both of these teams to just feel good for a minute about them. And, we started with the Mets because that is as brutal a loss. Three games in a row. And, there was a win mixed in miraculously. The offense continued to pound the Braves in the first game of the series after the individual iceberg home run of the polar bear, Pete Alonso. But in the last three games, the Mets have been up 5-0 and lost 5-1. And blew the game and had to come back and score a ton of runs. And last night, they're up 6-0 over the Atlanta Braves. 6-0 with Cookie Carrasco on the mound against the dead Atlanta Braves team, having one of their worst seasons since, in the last 30 years. A dead team. And they allow them off the deck, and Peterson can't get out of the fourth inning. He gives up 5 hits and 5 walks, 6 runs. I don't even think we brought up the idea of the bullpen coming in and being terrible. I don't even think we've mentioned the idea that Harris hits the grand slam off a reliever. Like, it's just that the starting pitching for the New York Mets, as much as I've screamed over the last few weeks, and I have, about it being the offense's fault, that this is at the feet of the offense, that yes, the pitching staff is no longer the mystifying, unbelievable story of all of baseball over the last year and a half and what they've been able to do and how their starting pitching has found guys through the cracks and turned them into excellent pitchers, Griffin Canning and obviously Severino and Manaea last year. And, Kodai Senga is legitimately good, well, at least was. Hopefully tonight he can be again. But like their pitching staff, the pitching lab, the infamous, famous Mets pitching lab, and what it's been able to do over the last 2 years. Yes, it's faltering here a little bit, but the offense, Juan Soto had his own moment, and we went over it last night. Inability to come through in the biggest of moments, despite having a good year and despite even having a good game with a 2-run home run. In the biggest of moments, swinging through a slider 6 inches up out of the zone. But as much as the pitching has been faltering and it's been the talking point, to me, it's still been this lousy offense, and they've been unable to do this and that, and I've yelled about it in the core, in the Fab Four and everything else. But as of late, the wheels have just come off of this starting rotation. They can't get out of the fourth inning. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, you had Clay Holmes, who's clearly at the end of his rope with the amount of innings he's thrown compared to the amount of innings he's pitched the last handful of years being a reliever. It was a nice story. He was excellent. He was a large part of the reason why the Mets built up the best record in baseball on a 5-game division lead, no doubt. But he's faltering. He gets a 5-1 lead after giving up a run in the first. They rally back, give him a 5-1 lead. He can't get out of the fourth inning. Last night, Peterson, the one guy that you have faith in to get deep into the game, the one guy who over the last month hasn't just been a disaster, the one guy that you trust with a 6-0 lead, can't throw strikes as the, and I've mentioned this a couple times because you can't make it up, as the broadcast decides to go into this big conversation about winning the first three pitches of an at-bat and talking about throwing strike one and how that's how they're going to try and change it, as this pitching staff leads the world in walks. And as of lately, just the amount of free passes has been embarrassing. And so they're up 6-0. You got Peterson on the mound. Sure, this is a good time to talk about how the pitching lab is going to fix it with this new mentality of winning the first three pitches while Peterson is throwing nothing but non-competitive fastballs 6 inches outside. It was comical to listen to and watch as the inning is being blown and they give up 9 runs in the ninth, in the fourth inning, excuse me. 9 runs. 5 walks. You get the double down the line. Then you get the Harris Grand Slam. And a 6-0 game becomes a 9-6 game. And then you have the moment of Juan Soto with 2 guys on and 2 outs, full count. A moment for him to finally come through. And yes, he's having an okay season for him, a very good season for 99% of Major League Baseball. And yeah, it's hard to get on him. He's been one of the guys still hitting over the last few weeks. He had a decent series in Milwaukee. He hits a home run earlier in this game to be part of the reason they're up 6-0. But in the biggest moments this year, that at-bat is like a microcosm. This game is a microcosm of Juan Soto's season, where it's still pretty good. He's still Juan Soto for the most part, but in the biggest moments, he just doesn't come through. And for a guy who is known and built his career on knowing the strike zone and never leaving it, even sometimes to the detriment of the team sometimes, because you're like, man, I wish he was up there not looking for walks. Remember that whole conversation last year at the start of the year with the Yankees? That's the frustrating part of Juan Soto, that he doesn't leave the zone. Not that he swings at high sliders 6 inches up, but his inability to come through in that moment. Then you get the 2-run home run from Ozuna in the next inning, and that game is done. And for a night that started with a long rain delay, wiped out the idea of having another ceremony for Pete Alonso in his home run that they'll have tonight. I'm sure there'll be a lot of enthusiasm now after this game. But you get the long rain delay. You've got a non-competitive Cookie Carrasco where Ron, Keith, and Gary practically have to watch the game through their fingers. They're so embarrassed for Cookie Carrasco and they feel so bad for him that he's non-competitive. 6-0. And then David Peterson, your guy, the one guy you trust, can't get out of the fourth. He gives you 3 1/3, a 5-hit, 6-run, 5-walk baseball. That is unacceptable. And so what do? Turn to the kids? Sounds good, but man, are you putting these kids in a tough spot. You got McLean coming in on Saturday to take over for Frankie Montas, and it feels like, you know, despite not wanting to put him earlier in the season, no, don't just bring him up for a spot start. No, we got to wait until there's a lane. Well, there's a lane now because every other car is driven off the cliff. So now they got to come in as saviors. They got to come in as the last hope. And right now, it might not just be McLean. You're looking at who else do they got to call up? You don't trust Holmes. We'll find out today about Kodai Senga, who you're hoping can turn the corner. Manaea hasn't been able to get out of the fourth inning. Like, you're going to turn the Sproat on Saturday, McLean on Saturday, not just looking to get 4 or 5, you're looking to get the best start you've had in a month. You're looking to the kid on Saturday to give you, you know, to become one of the better pitchers in the staff, not just someone to stem the tide as the sink continues. As the Reds beat the Phillies, they are 1 game up out of a playoff spot over the Cincinnati Reds. 1 game. This pitching staff has completely fallen apart. The pitching lab that I could not shut up about, that I was critical about at the start of the year for not going out and getting big-time starting pitching. It's supposed to be a World Series year. You can't rely on doing what they did last year. And then they shut me up for 2 months with Griffin Canning and Clay Holmes and everything else they were able to accomplish over the first couple months of this season. And we were all just in wild, you know, bewilderment about how well they were able to turn this staff of a bunch of no-names into the best starting staff in baseball, and it has completely fallen off. It's been trending in that direction, and now the last week, 2 weeks, it has completely bottomed out. And now they have to turn to these young kids who have promise, who've been having great seasons. McLean's had a great year all year. Sproat got off to a a tough start, has been great since July, and Tong has arguably been the best pitcher in minor league baseball this season. So there's promise, there's reason to believe they can come up and help you, but that's a lot to put on the shoulders of a couple young kids. And it feels like that's what you've got to rely on. And they, much like the Yankees, and we got into the Yankees too, and we'll continue to do that at 888-808-1019, but they just find ways to lose, man. Six runs isn't enough. Six runs isn't enough. They haven't been able to get a well-pitched game. The bullpen will blow it. They won't pinch run for a slow runner in Marte with a faster runner in Taylor. They'll find a ball will go off a glove. You know, Lindor, who's not hitting, will make a bad defensive play. Like, they are just finding ways to lose. And right now, the biggest is they can't throw strikes. I don't know if I can ever remember a starting staff that in a consecutive one turn through the rotation, we have seen the inability to throw strikes the way we have with this Met rotation over the last week. That was an ugly, brutal loss for the Mets last night. Trying to build momentum, as how I started this rant, trying to build the momentum of last night or two nights ago now, trying to build the momentum off of Pete Alonso's home run, trying to build the momentum off of that win, trying the day off, the first game against Atlanta, your nemesis, you get that big home run, you get that milestone, you get him beating Strawberry, you get all the home runs, you come back from a poor start, you're trying to build something here. They take a 6-0 lead. Think of what happens if David Peterson just gives you a serviceable outing of 5 or 6 innings of 3 runs. You get to the bullpen, you get through, and now you've won consecutive games against the team you haven't been able to beat in forever, and you feel like your season's turning around a little bit. A little bit, at least for 2 days. And instead, you end up feeling like this is the biggest gut punch of the season. And the Yankees, not as much a dramatic fashion for me, more of a ho-hum loss against another good starting pitcher that they don't hit. But at least you got something good from Cam Schlittler. But you come away from a Minnesota series where you take 2 out of 3 against a miserably bad team. Not only just the Minnesota team you own, but a bad team that traded away 10 of the 26 men on the roster. You beat 2 lousy starting pitchers in the first 2 games of the series. You get a well-pitched game from Cam Schlittler. And you're looking to prove you can beat a good starting pitcher. Looking to build momentum by sweeping a bad team and getting on a 3-game winning streak. And instead, the offense is completely shut down. The first reliever Boone goes to out of the bullpen gets lit up. The New York Yankees squander a couple of opportunities early against Joe Ryan, squander an opportunity late with the leadoff man in Stanton getting on, immediately wiped away by Ben Rice, double play, and you find out that now another right-handed bat in Paul Goldschmidt after you've lost Rosario, after you've lost Slater, and now Paul Goldschmidt dealing with a knee, unable to pinch hit for Wells in the biggest opportunity of the game in the 8th inning, and all of a sudden this team has no right-handed bench. All of a sudden you're wondering who's playing first. All of a sudden the idea of being thrusted back into Wells playing every day because Rice has to play first base. Does this move Dominguez back into the outfield because now you're going to have to play games with Bellinger at first so you can get Rice at the catching spot? Like, not only did they lose, but they lost another important bat. And it's just momentum lost. And yes, they won a series, but it's hard to feel good about it. 888-808-1019. The Mets with an epic, disastrous loss. And the Yankees with a ho-hum, not good enough. So what? They won a series. Not a great way to feel on this Thursday morning. Got to be honest with you. Let's get to Bill in Pittsburgh. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Chris. Always great to talk with you. You know, I don't know if you've ever read the book Ball 4 by Jim Boughton, but it's probably the greatest baseball book ever written. And in that, he has a line where he says, have you read? You not read it?
I have not, no.
Oh, wait. In that book, he has a line where he says, he said, if they say hitting a baseball is the most difficult thing to do in sport, and he goes, if that's the case, the second most difficult thing is trying to stop guys from hitting a baseball. And, you know, people don't realize, a lot of these sort of second guessers and armchair quarterbacks don't realize baseball at the major league level is a really hard sport to play. And, you know, TV makes it look easy. And they talk about, you know, why can't you just, you know, throw strikes, or why can't you lay down a bunt? sit behind home plate sometime and watch a 98-mile-an-hour fastball come flying in there and
Bill,
see how
I don't disagree with you, but that I mean, that doesn't really matter for me, you, or anybody listening to this phone call.
Well, no,
they're in a league where there's competition, and there are players who are doing it better and teams that are doing it better. That's the
right,
point.
But my point is that pitching has outdistanced hitting. You know, the pitching has gotten better faster than the hitting has gotten better. Okay. So it's just not as simple as saying, well, this guy came in and blew, you know, gave up three runs. It's not easy to pitch to these guys. That's not my original point, though. My point is that the Yankees have lost 56 games this year. And in 40 of those, they've had a relief pitcher come in less than an inning, given up two or more runs. There's your problem. And it's not all Devin Williams, by the way.
No.
That is your problem in a nutshell. And let's. And you know, the way that you, when people complain about the manager, the general manager, the way you mitigate that is players play well and players do what they're supposed to do, and they hit and they pitch and they run.
Yeah.
And you look at right now, they've got major issues with Austin Wells and Jason Dominguez.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys have completely underperformed. I think there's not anything wrong with considering maybe not this year, but having them spend some more time in the minor leagues. But here's the important point. Here's the important point. Bednar, they found a closer.
That's right.
Weaver's coming back. Weaver's himself again.
Yep.
Leiter looks like he's kind of regaining some strength there. And what all these teams are facing is simply this. Everybody's getting five innings. And boy, if you could find a way to get one more inning out of these starters, you're reducing the risk of having one of those guys coming out of that pen having a bad night. And sometimes you got to weigh out the fact, maybe we try to sneak this guy through a third time for another inning. Maybe that's not as bad as risking bringing in what you basically end up having to have four closers every night. And that just doesn't work out. So
yeah, I understand, Bill. There's no doubt that's the fear, right? When you go five, it's been a common theme from everybody talking about the situation as the Mets are clearly going through it. So we've been talking about it here. Anytime you bring in four relievers into a game, there's always a chance one of them doesn't have their good stuff, right? That is clearly an issue. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, like, I don't think the Mets in particular have, I can't think of an instance where it's like, oh man, why would you pull him here? Like, if anything, the one that jumps out at me is not pulling Clay Holmes soon enough yet the other day. So like, and letting him face Olson. And as far as Dominguez and Wells, yeah, Wells is just, like, in a perfect world right now, Wells is the backup catcher. That's how bad offensively he's been. I don't know how significant this hand injury is that he's dealing with, where he had numb hand for a while. I honestly, I don't know. I know I see a lot of swings where the bat flies out of one of his hands and he stares down at it. I don't know if that's been hindering him or not, but the point is he's not been good enough offensively to be your starting catcher. And Rice has been fine. To me, in a perfect world with the Yankees going right now, Rice is your starting catcher and Wells is your backup. Like, that's where it is. And maybe time in the minor leagues is suitable for him. Guy had a 900 OPS in the second half of the season last year. It's very frustrating to see what he's become here in this season. And then Dominguez, like, look, I think, and I tweeted this, I think Dominguez still has a lot of promise. And you got to understand, I know he's been in the organization a long time because he signed it like 16 years old, but he lost a full season because of an elbow injury. He lost a full season because of COVID. And like, he hasn't developed as an outfielder yet. So for me, they tried to do it at the major league level and the fans wanted it. We want to see these kids. We clamor for these kids. And he hasn't been able to develop defensively. And for me, he's just, ideally, he's a bench piece too, because I can't play. I got to play the best players, and he's just not right now. But that's what the Goldschmidt injury does. Because if Goldschmidt is hurt, do you play Ben Rice at first base every day and now catcher is Wells again? It's been so bad, I don't want to see that. And then do you move Bellinger to first and hurt your outfield by putting Dominguez out there? There is another option, and I talked about it earlier in the show. Do you have the gumption? Does Brian Cashman have the gumption to go into the minor leagues and pull up Spencer Jones? because Spencer Jones has been a really good defensive outfielder. Yes, in center field, but again, I think a good center fielder is capable of playing left field, at least a lot better than Dominguez is. Do you try and play Bellinger at first a lot? Bring up a Spencer Jones, put him in the outfield, see if that sparks the team. See if he can hit some home runs, bring some youth, change the dynamic of this team a little bit. Do you go bold that way? And I think the Yankees probably won't. I think you're going to see Dominguez out in left field now and Bellinger at first base a little bit because Wells has been that bad offensively. So that injury, and hopefully it's not that long, and even if it is an IL for Goldschmidt, hopefully it's not long, but that injury is actually a lot worse than you would think. Let's go to Pat in the Bronx real quick. What's up, Pat?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you, Pat?
Well, not great after that horrible loss.
Yeah. That is, I mean, it feels like in the moment the worst loss of the year. I know they had some in Milwaukee, but you can't be up 6-0 against the Braves and blow that game. You just can't.
Just can't walk the leadoff hitter of the inning.
Oh, my God. The leadoff hitter, he walked everybody. I mean, they're talking about winning the first three batters of the game and what strike one means. And he's nowhere near the plate last night.
It's really horrible. It's just going downhill. But, you know, Chris, we've kind of pushed our chips into the middle with getting the rentals and giving up not great prospects, but potentially very good prospects. Every team has a scouting system. One of these guys that we gave away might hurt us down the line. I don't like giving up a year of control over a player, but we've kind of committed to winning this year, I think. Yeah. And are we better than the Padres, the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Phillies? Are we better than them? Can we beat them in a short series? Perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah, but can we beat them in their park in a short series? I have my doubts.
Yeah, well, of course. Who wouldn't have their doubts? But again, have you looked at what's gone on as the Dodgers got swept by the Angels? Like, I know they won the World Series last year. I'm not trying to say it's the same, but like, look at what they've done. Since July 4th, only the Colorado Rockies, the Washington Nationals, and the Tampa Bay Rays have a worse record than the Dodgers since July 4th. They've been floundering for a while. They had a 9-game lead over the San Diego Padres. They are now in second place. They have blown a 9-game lead. You can't beat the Dodgers. Like, it's a wacky baseball season. This is one of those years, man. Every single team in first place has had a losing streak of like 6 or 7 games at the bare minimum. Every single team in first place. Worse than that, most of them. Like, it's a weird, weird year. And they can't beat the Padres. They can't beat, again, let's find out about this Brewers team. I have a hard time thinking the Brewers are going to just roll through this season like a hot knife through butter and go win a championship. I have a hard time believing it, but maybe they will. But the season's not over for both these teams. Don't lie to yourself. You want to get pissed off? Fine. You want to cry in your beer? You want to cry in your cereal? You want to talk about how this team is dead and this team is dead and it's over and they can't win? It's not true. I'm not saying you should feel overly confident, and I'll tell you, I'm not, as a Yankee fan, I'm not overly confident, but am I done with the team? Do I think they cannot win? They can't beat the Toronto Blue Jays? They can't? Sorry. Get in, get hot. If there's ever been a year in baseball to prove that, it is right now. We have seen teams hot, cold, blow division leads. Almost every single division has had a major shift and who's in the lead and what kind of lead it is. Almost every single division. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for another half hour till 5 o'clock. We'll be right back with your calls right here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Oh, it's not the right thing to do. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for another few minutes as we take you to the warm-up show at 5. And just we felt the Yankee fans felt the impact of, and the Yankees felt the impact of the Goldschmidt injury already in that bat last night, not being able to pinch hit for Wells in the seventh. Because he, on a 3-1 pitch, he swings and fouls off a pitch that's 5 inches off the plate and then takes a strike three looking. And instead of having Goldschmidt available to pinch hit as a right-handed batter against a left-handed hitter where he's hitting 400 to get that second runner on in front of the man, Trent Grisham, who has been as clutch a player as there's been in Major League Baseball. His late and close numbers are the best in Major League Baseball. And his home runs have been as impactful as any player in Major League Baseball. So down three runs with an opportunity of bringing Trent Grisham to the plate with two men on in the eighth is a significant moment. And to not have Trent Grisham and not have Goldschmidt there and to have Wells have a miserable at-bat yet again is a frustrating moment. Just a frustrating moment. And now they're dealing with every single right-handed batter that they have off the bench. Goldschmidt's injured. They bring in Rosario for his ability to hit left-handed pitching. He's injured. Hopefully that's going to be short stint. And then Slater, you know, pulled his hamstring. He's gone for the rest of the year. It's just, that is just the cherry on top to a bad loss to a successful series, but you don't feel overly good about it. 888-808-1019. Brett in Long Island calling us. What's going on, Brett?
Bruce, you can't get through a show without bringing up last year's Yankees World Series, usually defending Boone. But ironically, you know, game one, he made that pitching change, gave up the home run, and that was it. I felt like, and that was on him, and that set the tone. Okay. You talked about a critical decision made. You yes. said people are only criticizing because it didn't work, but isn't that the point? Devin Williams, when he makes the bad decision, you got to criticize it. And a manager, well, I'm going to do two more. Hold on, sure. A manager, and I'll give you a manager, and this is you, because the first 70 games or whatever, you were saying the Yankees have one of the best teams in baseball, and in the first two months of the season, one of the best, right, one of the best rosters, we talked about it. So you go from this, like, one of the best teams in baseball to the second worst team right now as far as record. The last 2 months, they have the worst record. That's got to go on the manager. And also, you talk about the 2000s and 90s. Don't talk about those teams. I looked it up. I got news for you, and I don't know what it is. But our roster probably has more talent right now than those last couple of teams. So is it the manager? Is it Hal? Is it George? Is it, Torrey?
I don't know. But again, so are you willing to fire Mendoza?
The Mets
record has been just as bad. The Mets are a half a game better than the Yankees.
I'm just saying,
that's not it. No, you can't. You see, but that's the problem with it. Like, you can't say, well, the manager's record's so bad, you know, nobody's been worse. Well, then when I point when somebody's worse, well, don't talk about that. Don't talk about the, well, you said nobody's worse. Well, I just gave you somebody who's worse. No, don't talk about that. Of course it's on Boone. I've been critical of Boone. And I didn't say that you can't criticize him for the move. You can if you'd like. I don't have a problem with it necessarily. But you can criticize him. My point is, if it didn't, it's not that you can't criticize when it doesn't work. Of course you can. My point is, when it's referred to as like he had one important decision to make. Because that's what I was referencing. That some, like a couple people, I saw a couple different, like anytime Boone has to make a decision, it's wrong. And he only had one decision to make in the entire series, and it was the decision who to bring in after Cam Schlittler or to stick with Cam. Like, who was pitching the sixth inning is the only critical decision he had to make, and he blew it. And my point is, if the game wasn't blown, nobody would look at that as a critical moment in the game. Nobody would say that decision was important. If he got it right, nobody would say, oh, Boone had, that was a really important decision on who was going to pitch the sixth, and Boone got it right. Nobody would say that. Nobody would view that as a critical decision. It became a critical decision when it went wrong. Once it goes wrong, if you want to criticize it, go ahead. I understand. He's lower on the list than some of the upper echelon names. But again, do you trust him much more than Doval? Like, or much less than Doval? Let's be honest. Doval's been in, what, 4 games, and he's blown 2 of them. He's been in what? Like, I know 4 is probably not the number, but it's 5 or 6 games. He's blown 2 games already since he got here. He blew Saturday. They won the game. They were up 2 runs. He blew it. I'm not knocking him or saying Duvall can't pitch anymore, that he's on the same level as, you know, Devin Williams, but let's not make it seem like he's been perfect. And De Los Santos has been better than him over the last 2 weeks. Better than him. So, like, if we're setting it up and we go, oh, man, you've got Weaver, you've got Duvall, you've got, like, it's all set up. Why are you going to De Los Santos? Oh, you got Leiter, you got Weaver, you got Duvall, you've got Bednar. Like, Weaver and Bednar are the only two names I without question, like better than De Los Santos. That's all I'm saying. You can't tell me Duvall is a mutt. I know they traded for him. Don't get me wrong. I know they traded for him. And so they put stock in how good they think he is. But in the last 2 weeks, you're telling me he's been much better than De Los Santos? He hasn't been. De Los Santos had a 1.67 ERA going into the game. That's all I'm saying. You want to be critical of it? Be critical of it. But you can't point to it as and say the manager had one decision and he blew it. If he didn't blow it, you wouldn't even consider that a big decision. Like that's my only point. But of course, they've been terrible for 2 months. And I've been critical of Boone. I literally said if they got swept in Texas, I'd consider firing him. I haven't been pie in the sky about Aaron Boone. I've been critical of him for years. I have said, even while defending Brian Cashman on many levels, the failures of this Yankee group is far more on the roster building and general manager than it is on the manager. 23, the roster was terrible. That's on Cashman, not Boone. I don't blame Boone an ounce for not making the playoffs in 23. That roster was not good enough. And most of the issues over the last 6-7 years has been about the roster, not the manager. I don't know if I feel the same way about this team, because I look at this team and I like a lot of the players. A lot of the players are having good seasons. Like, I like a lot of this team. I think this team should be far better than this. And I put it on the manager. Absolutely, I do. And if they don't make the playoffs this year, I think he should be fired. So, like, to call up and make it seem like I never criticize anyone, I criticize Boone. I just don't blame him for every single decision. And if you're going to call up and say nobody's been worse, and then I give you teams that have been just as bad or worse, I don't want to compare them to the 2000 Yankees. There's no use in that. You think it's more applicable to compare the New York Yankees today against the Dodgers today, against the Mets today, against the Cubs today, against the teams that they're competing with right now for a championship? Do you think it's more reasonable to compare them against those teams, the Cleveland Guardians, whoever else, that I should compare them against them, or we should compare them against the ghost of champions from 25 years ago? Is that who I should come? Let's stick to the Yankees and talk about the 2000 Yankees from 25 years ago. That's a more relevant conversation. I don't know how you could possibly think that just because the organization's the same. Who cares about those Yankee teams anymore? I don't. How are they going to beat the Astros? How are they going to beat the Tigers? How are they going to beat the Blue Jays and the Red Sox? I want to compare them to those teams, not the ghosts of championships prior. Let's go to Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris, what's up? How's everything?
What's up?
I went to the game last night. My luck, like last week, I went to the one-hit game. This is like torture, you know, just like, I mean, it was fun at the beginning. They're up 6-0. I'm thinking, all right, wow, you know, this is going to be
a great night.
Game.
It's going to be a great night. We stuck around through a rain delay, and it's going to be worth it. They're going to cakewalk to an easy win. They're going to have two games in a row against the Atlanta Braves, and this is the beginning where they put their foot in the ground and decide enough is enough, and they're going to go out there and go on a run here. And instead, you get more of the same, and the one guy you trust to go deep can't get out of the fourth. That is a gut punch of a loss last night.
Yeah, I think Mendoza made some bad moves. I mean, this guy, Reed Garrett, has been in all these games. He's tired, you know? He's kind of burnt. You have Blackburn that hasn't pitched that much. And he came in later and he pitched well. Why not bring him in instead of Garrett? Garrett continued to blow the game up.
You want to put Blackburn in a game that still theoretically is there to be won. You've scored six runs in the first couple innings. You're only down, you know, you're down what? It's a tie game. They're not even down at that point. It's a grand slam. So you're still leading in the game. You want to go to Paul Blackburn fresh off the IL?
Yeah, because he has less innings on him.
This is where I lose you, man. This is where we get like. You know why he has less innings? One, because he hasn't been healthy enough to pitch, and two, because do you remember what he looked like the last time he was on the mound? Like, he's Paul Blackburn. Reed Garrett's been one of your better relievers. Yeah, he's throwing a lot of innings, but you want to. Paul Blackburn did a nice job last night saving the bullpen. That's his role on this team. You don't bring him into an inning like that with the bases loaded or what? I think the situation was base loaded. He walked somebody. I don't know. But like that inning is falling apart. Peterson can't get out of it. And you want to bring in Paul Blackburn to put the fire out? Even if Reed Garrett isn't going to go long in that game. He's there to stem the tide. He's one of your best relievers. Keep the lead. Get out of that inning. And then you might go to a Paul Blackburn or the rest of your bullpen. Probably not Paul Blackburn if you keep the lead. Like, come on, man. You're going to just look at innings? That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It didn't work, so you should have gone to Paul Blackburn. I mean, come on. Come on. 888-808-1019. Quick break, back after this.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
How can you have your meat if you don't eat your pudding? That's a question we've been baffling with for years. 888-808-1019. Little Pink Floyd on the fan. Let's get to the calls. Rapid fire styles. We take you till 5 a.m. And the warm-up show. These teams need to find their pudding. That's for sure. Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, C-Mac, I'm so disgusted with what's going on.
Yep.
The pitching lab needs a whole bunch of new scientists.
Sure. Maybe some beakers, you know, and test tubes or something. I don't know.
You know what? Get Beaker from the Muppets. You know, probably do a better job right now.
It has fallen. The wheels have fallen off. How is this possible?
How deflating is it to a team when you're... You know, you score six, you come out so strong against a pitcher that you figure you're going to do that to.
Yeah.
They have so little ability to stop the bleeding. It's insane.
Yeah.
When it starts going south, they can't stop it.
Well, I don't know if he got scared of the strike zone or like he was just nowhere near the strike zone, just nowhere near it. juxtapose against the broadcast talking about, you know, trying to win the first three pitch battle and the struggles with walks and watching him just not even be competitive while they're talking about it was just like unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, this I don't know what the problem is if it's the overall. You know, I know you've said, and this applies to both teams. I know you've said that they're better than what they've shown. You know what? Honestly, it's 70% of the season already gone. Maybe slightly more than that. They're not better than what they are.
No,
I'm sorry.
I hear you, Eric. I would say this, and again, this is going to be taken as the Yankee shill. Right now, the only unit on any team, on either team. And we'll see, hopefully, McLean and maybe even more Sproat and Tong, we'll see, I don't know. But right now it feels like, and I wouldn't have said this like 2 weeks ago, but right now it's that bad right now for the Mets rotation. I still believe in the rosters of both these teams. I would say the only unit on either of the team that just feels non-competitive right now is the Mets starting pitching. Like, the bullpen for the Yankees has been a disaster. Devin Williams is blowing games. Duvall blew a game you can't blow and misplayed. And the defense overall for the Yankees is an issue, no doubt. But the lineup, I still think, should be much better for the Mets and maybe has turned a corner here. They've scored, you know, a bunch of runs here over the last couple games. And hopefully they're getting hot. You know, Nimmo is kind of waking up here. And Alonso certainly, you know, has had really good games the last couple games. So hopefully he gets hot. And Soto, while not coming through in the biggest of moments, certainly is having a, you know, a somewhat typical, maybe down a little bit, Juan Soto season. And you figure he's going to be great. So, like, when I look at these teams, you're right. I've been saying it, and I still believe it. I still think these teams are as capable, you know, as almost anyone to go accomplish something. I think they are dramatically underachieving. The only unit that stands out to me right now that is just unsustainable for a winning team is the Mets starting rotation. Other than that, and hopefully that could get fixed with some young kids, or just the idea of Senga turning back into Senga and Manaea turning back into Manaea. If Senga goes out and throws six and two-thirds tonight, maybe we all feel better about it. But in the moment, the Mets starting rotation feels unsustainable. Outside of that, I still think these rosters are underachieving. I do. I just do. Mitch in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Big Mac, what a night last night at Yankee Stadium. First, we sit there for 3 hours in the rain. Yep. And thank God I had Pepsi Club, so that was okay. But, you know, I got home and I was looking at it last night. You know, Yankees go up 1-0, they tie it up, and then they give up. They go to the bullpen, and people were talking, well, should they let him go or not? And then the Yankees had off day, and then when I got home, they're all saying John Flaherty was knocking Boone last night. They said, why didn't he go to his top three relievers? The Yankees have off day. Why didn't he go to Weaver? He could have went that way. He said he went to Santos instead. And he says that the Yankees knew that the Blue Jays lost, the Red Sox lost. Again, another blown game. The Yankees lose.
Don't you think that's overrated, though, Mitchell? So you're telling me if those teams won, you'd feel better about this loss? You'd feel better about falling further behind them?
No, I don't feel better about it, but did you agree that with Flaherty last night that he said they should have went to the top relievers instead of
I watched the postgame. I'm sorry, Mitch. I'm trying to get rapid-fire style here. And you're a little noisy there, but you're my guy. I don't think Flaherty did say that. I don't believe Flaherty said you had to go or you should have gone. He said it's going to be a decision you question. He said, you know, with Leiter available, again, De Los Santos is pitching to a 1.67 ERA. Are you telling me, Mitch, that you feel so much more confident that Leiter was going to come in? And then do you feel so much more confident that Duvall, who has blown two games in the last 2 weeks, do you feel better that Duvall is going to come in and pitch well? Like, do you feel better? To me, I have two arms, two, that in the moment today, I feel better about than De Los Santos. Two, Weaver and Bednar. I can't get through the game with just those two. It's not like De Los Santos has been struggling. He's been really good. You have to go to Leiter in that spot. You have to. Have to. Otherwise, you're stupid. You have to go to Weaver in that spot, and then how do you get through the next couple innings? Like, I don't have that much of a problem with it. You could have went to, you could have went to Weaver. You could have left in Schlittler. But you could have done all those things, but those of all could have blown in your face. Again, it's not like he went to a lousy reliever. He didn't bring in Devin Williams. He didn't go to the bottom of the bat. Like, he's the lesser name down the list, absolutely, but he's given up a run. He hasn't given up a run in 10 out of his last 11 appearances. He's pitching to an under 2 ERA. Like, Duvall's been worse in the last 2 weeks. Wouldn't you agree? If I could have gotten to a spot where I can get through it with Weaver and Bednar, then I would have agreed. Those are the, like, if I got to a spot where it's the seventh inning and maybe I can get through the last three innings with just the two of them and I want to push them with the day off, I guess you can argue that. But they didn't get to the seventh. It was just the sixth. And if they're, and in that inning, I don't trust anybody much more than I trust De Los Santos. It's not like I feel that much better about Duvall or Leiter. I just don't. Maybe you do. I don't. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Chris, I totally agree with you. It's a sixth inning. He's been pitching well. Come on, stop with the second guessing.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It didn't work, so it's a terrible decision. No, that's it.
The only thing I can say is that, yeah, 2 out of 3 normally is good, but you really want to see them go on a roll. You really would like to see a sweep. You know, want to see the Yankees go 9-1. When you got a chance to beat a team like that. As far as the Mets, I went to bed 6-0. That's one of the worst losses of the year. You got back-to-back guys. Holmes gives you 4 innings. Peterson doesn't get to the 5th. It's terrible. You just can't pitch like that.
No, Richie, you can't. You can't. And as far as the Yankees, yes, they took 2 out of 3 from Minnesota, but they lost to the one good pitcher they saw. I feel exactly the same way about them than I did after they lost the series to the Astros. I feel the same. They did nothing to build any confidence for me. They won 2 out of 3, so overall I suppose you can call it a positive, but they did nothing to make me feel better about them. Nothing. And the Mets, I mean, that's just the starting rotation, the wheels are coming off. You can't lose that game. You just can't lose it. It killed momentum that they were trying to build. It's just a disastrous loss. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. The warm-up show is next. Thanks to Ray on the other side. I'll be with you at midnight for a 5-hour midnight ride. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Bye-bye.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.